The following is a RockRadioShow.com exclusive.
Welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with the Royals, Episode 3, Season 4, and oh my god. Just oh my god, it hit the fan in this episode.
Yeah, dude.
I knew it. I knew Liam getting that hard drive was too easy. Like, it was too quick. It was too easy for him. It all went too smoothly. Dear Lord. Just dear Lord, Liam, what have you done?
Okay, every time we know where something's going in this show, there's always a twist.
They take a left turn.
They take that left turn. And boy, did they take a left turn in this episode.
Oh my god. Okay. All right.
So where do you want to begin with it?
Well, I think we need to start just with Liam, because Liam's whole storyline, and this was driven by Liam and Eleanor primarily in this, but Liam's storyline just hit you right in the feels. It was really, really, really just excellent in terms of the way that they did it, but it was heart-wrenching. So in this episode, everything kind of sort of like hits the fan in terms of Liam, where he desperately wants to get Robbie. He wants to confront him. He wants to beat the crap out of him. And so he sees Robbie standing in the office, or he thinks it's Robbie. He tackles him and he's like, I know what you did. You know, you killed Dad, kind of thing. And it's a doppelganger that Cyrus has hired.
Mm-hmm.
And Cyrus walks in and he's like, yeah, know your temper. No, you stay away from your brother. You don't get to do anything with this until we're ready for you to do this, kind of thing. But Liam can't wait. Oh no, Liam can't wait. So he calls a family meeting and they're all there, and he walks in and Wilhelmina's right there too. And basically Liam accuses Robbie of transferring money to Ted Price, which he doesn't deny, and that, you know, basically the assumption is that Robbie used the money to kill his father. He used Ted Price, I should say, to kill his father, which they do deny. And his mother is like horrified by this. And she's like, no, that's not true. That's not what was going on. You know, your dad and I knew about the money. We knew what was happening with Ted, that your brother was trying to help him. You know, we were really proud of him for it. Your father was really proud of him for it. And Liam's like, no, absolutely not. No. And it's at this point where Liam pulls a goddamn gun on his mother and his brother with Wilhelmina there and is like, you two have always been thick of thieves. You're lying for him. You're covering for him, just like you've always done. He killed our father. Now, mind you, during this entire thing, Robbie is 100% calm.
Yeah, he has a loaded gun pointed directly at him, and he is calm. Everyone else is freaking out, but Robbie, who we just spoke to last week, go back to RockRadioShow.com, listen to the interview with Max Brown, is just there calm.
At one point, he actually does try to grab the gun from Liam, and that escalates the situation further, where Liam gets more angry.
It's like, I know it.
And, you know, meantime, they're like, no, that's not what happened. That's not what's going on. And Robbie is not saying anything. He's not denying it. He's not, you know, acknowledging it, but he's not, or admitting it, but he's not denying it either. He is 100% calm, as his brother is, you know, emotionally compromised, yelling, ranting, raving, screaming with a gun in his face. And who comes in and saves the day but Eleanor?
Because the setup to all this was, Liam went to the hospital, saw Jasper, and told him what he was going to do. Jasper said it's a bad idea. So in the hospital, Jasper tells Eleanor, and well, I need to tell you something. So we don't see it, but he reveals what happened. That's why she shows up when she did.
Right. And Liam has called this meeting with the entire family, and she was busy doing other things, which we'll get into here in a minute, because her storyline is important as well. But this is really the whole crux of the episode, is Liam. Liam thinks he's right. He's wrong at this point. You know, obviously, as we've learned in watching this show, that there are twists and turns, and when it's going one way, they hit that hard left turn and it goes a different way. So for right now, it's looking like, you know, Liam is convinced Robbie is the reason that their father is dead, that he had him killed. It's the perfect alibi. It's the perfect setup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, as we said at the end of episode one, it's really the ideal solution for Robbie, because then he can come in, his hands are clean, nobody's going to know about the payments, and it's all kosher. Well, after Liam gets knocked out, he's drugged to Mr. Hill's office, where Mr. Hill is like, all right, look, you can't do this.
You screwed up in such a royal way. We need to do this, because He wants to call the cops.
He wants to call the authorities. Because technically, Liam has committed treason.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Liam has committed treason. He attempted to kill the king. He pulled a gun on the king. You're not supposed to do that. But the family is like, no. We're keeping this in-house. We are not having this get out because we have to protect the family name. So basically, Liam is sitting there handcuffed to a chair and Hill is like, I'm going to ask you three questions. And the first question was, do you know who occupied this office before I did?
And he goes, yes.
Yeah, it's Ted Price.
Yeah.
And the second question is, you know, do you feel he was a good man? Or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you...
At one point, do you think he was a good man?
Yeah. And it leads to this whole kind of monologue between... Or not monologue, soliloquy? Is that it? Anyway, at least this whole speech. Whatever the fancy term is for that. I'm sorry, I don't remember that from English class. And so, basically, Hill's like, Price lost his way. You know, Price felt he was doing things for the right reasons. He got lost, and he wasn't able to come back. You're in that similar situation, but you can still come back from it. You know, you felt you had something, you felt you were in the right, you're seeing things from a certain perspective, nobody's denying that, but you had it wrong. And you haven't gone too far to where you can't come back from it.
Right.
So you maybe kind of want to think about that.
And the third question was...
Are you ever going to do this again?
No.
Yeah, Liam was like, no.
No. Won't be a thing. And then he lets him go.
Yeah, and then he lets him go. Which Liam kind of then sulks off and is like, ugh, crap. So that takes us over really to Eleanor, who she's in the hospital with Jasper. She's wanting to help people. And Jasper's like, you can't be here. They're going to figure out that you're my girlfriend. And she's like, well, unless I'm here helping people. So that's what she does. She goes off and she finds a girl to help who's very sick. And basically, Eleanor does the whole Make-A-Wish thing where she grants this girl's wish. And she throws a dance for her and her friends. And they invite this kid who this girl has a crush on. Except he doesn't RSVP.
Yeah. Which, to quote them, he's a 14-year-old douchebag. Their words, not ours.
She's like, Eleanor is freaking out at one point because she's like, this kid isn't RSVP. What if I'm, you know, going to make her life worse? And Jasper's like, he's 14. She's like, exactly, he's a 14-year-old douchebag. And then Jasper thinks about it and he's like, crap, you're right.
Because the girl who had a rare blood disease of some sort, they want to let her go to her dance. So they're bringing it to her, which was Eleanor's good deed for the episode. She has, like, all these pictures of Eleanor and then Jasper and also the boy, which is how Eleanor picked up on it and how the whole thing began.
And it's really sweet of her. Like, she's doing it for the right reason, that she really does actually want to help this girl make her life a little bit easier. But also it's, well, I want to be with Jasper, so... Problem solved.
So she enlists the help of Sebastian for the party.
And there was more jabbing back and forth between Sebastian and Jasper, which I always love.
And he talks to him, Frost. Not Jasper, Frost. Always a little dig right there.
And you know, if these two end up getting married, that it's always going to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So they throw it and, you know, Jasper is like, he's putting on a suit because he knows the 14-year-old douchebag. Their words, again. Not ours, won't show up because he remembers being the 14-year-old boy and he would disappoint.
Yes.
So he shows up to the dance already, and you know, he has his crutches and everything, and he's hobbling and looking around, and Eleanor is pissed because the boy is not there, and the girl is upset because the boy's not there, and then, well, Eleanor's like, I got a surprise for you. And she's like, is it the boy? It's like, it's not the boy, it's Jasper. And the girl was very disappointed.
Like, she was, like, trying to put on, oh, yay, thanks. And then, of course, you know, right when she's, like, about to break Eleanor's heart, the boy walks in, and Eleanor's like, where have you been? We've been waiting on you. And she kind of gives him the little grilling, where she's like, yeah, we've been waiting for you. Yeah, mm-hmm. Fine, go have fun.
Yeah.
Prick.
Where were you? I was out of town. You can't, I felt really bad. My parents want me to apologize for not RSVPing.
She's like, yeah, thanks.
Uh-huh. I thought you were a douchebag. You weren't. My bad. So that was Eleanor's side. But there was one other side that we need to talk about.
Yes.
And what's that?
Well, we need to talk about Robbie, because once again, he is a focus in the episode, and his hunt for a bride. And, well, they've narrowed down the choices of candidates. They're bringing the lucky ladies in for lunch with the king, a nice stroll through the gardens, and a grilling from the press. And it's basically to see how the ladies handle it. You know, and the press is to see basically their true nature, what they're going to do in those types of situations, that kind of thing. It's a whole little sort of like obstacle course for them. And from that, a candidate is identified where it's basically a younger version of Helena, and Robbie's like, ooh, I'm liking it. I'm really liking it. And Willow's like, what? No, absolutely not. No. So it sort of makes Willow reconsider her choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes Helena reconsider her choices, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because Helen is with her lover, and she's, you know, very contemplative, and she basically tells him two things happened today. My eldest son found a potential wife, and my younger son pulled a gun on my older son and our family, and it's my fault that happened because she admits to setting up her children and lying to them about who their father was and doing it with Cyrus. And because of that, her son is now very much very paranoid about everything, doesn't necessarily trust or believe everything, views it as everything as a conspiracy or a plot, and she blames herself for that. And rightfully so, she should.
Oh, yeah.
And so she doesn't know how to help Liam, and she realizes that the only way that she can help Liam and her family is to be better. And so she's breaking up with her lover because of that, and the dude's like, no, you're not doing this to be better, you're just doing this to get rid of me. Which is like, okay, fair.
Okay, fair. Yeah. Well, we need to go back a second to the dating.
Okay.
And the final candidate that strolled through.
Yes, the contender.
The contender. She was... Everyone came at the approach a certain way. She did the exact opposite. They sat there, and he was very intrigued by her. I think they were, discussing music of some sort?
They were discussing movies and the best year of movies, and Robbie was like, the best year is 1939, because that's when Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz, and something else came out.
The Sound of
and
Music?
No, not Sound of Music, it was something else. And she was like, no, it was 76, because that was when Rocky and Taxi Driver and something else came out. And she checkmates him with a follow-up year, because he's like, well, in 1940 yada 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 came out, and she's like, well, in 1977 they made this little thing called Star Wars. And Robbie's just sitting there like, ding. He's like, all right, I'm digging it.
Mm-hmm. But out of everyone, she is the most conniving, like his mother.
Yes. Like I said, she's a younger version of Helena. And they even say that when they're telling everybody about it later before Liam comes in, and Helena's like, no, absolutely not. No, there don't need to be two of us here.
But yeah, I think she just needed some spotlight, so yeah.
But I wouldn't mind seeing more of that candidate. I really wouldn't. I kind of liked her. I especially liked how she handled the press. She was very just nonchalant about the whole thing, wasn't ruffled with it. She's like, whatever, just get out of my face.
She was very prepared.
She toyed with them.
Very much so.
And Robbie was very impressed.
Yes, he was.
But then Robbie decides, in typical Robbie fashion, to do something slightly nefarious for various reasons that I'm sure will be revealed in episode 4.
You're just sitting here waiting for the twist. You're waiting for that cliffhanger at the end. So, what the setup is, before that, after the dance, it is revealed that Eleanor talked to his surgeon, Jasper's surgeon. He's allowed to go home. So he's being loaded up into the ambulance. And then, what does Robbie do?
Well, first, before Robbie does the thing, Liam comes in and apologizes to Robbie for dating Catherine and not telling him. And Robbie's like, yeah, okay. Not for the other stuff, but, you know, for dating Catherine and not telling Robbie. Because, yeah, right. He does owe him for an apology for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Liam's basically like, you know, I felt like I always knew who I was, and I don't. And I'm kind of hoping that this will help me start to find my way back.
Right.
You know, where it's a genuine act of repentance and, you know, look, I'm just kind of screwed up right now, dude, in a lot of ways.
Right.
So Robbie's like, yeah, okay, all right, get out of my office.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie turns around and he's looking at the window and he's looking out over the London skyline and he goes, 3, 2, 1, all the lights in London go out at Robbie's command.
And that's how it ends.
That's how it ends.
So what happens next episode? You'll just stay tuned and find out.
Yeah, I don't know, but Robbie's up to no good.
We all know when he's up to no good.
Things are going to happen.
Things are going to happen, yeah.
I have to say, I'm biased because we talked to him, but Max Brown and the whole character of Robert Henstridge is probably the best thing that has happened to this show. He's just taking it to a whole other level. It's fantastic.
It's tremendous.
It's absolutely fantastic. I'm gonna need a season 5. I'm sorry. I'm gonna need a season 5. If somebody could kindly make that happen, I would be very appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that does it for us. What do you think?
I think it does. Make sure you follow us on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Rock Radio Show.
Yeah. Sorry, no guests this week, but if you still want to listen to Max Brown, don't forget you can go over to the website, rockradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, listen to our interview with Max Brown. He's fantastic. He's awesome. We love him. But that does it for Rock and I, so you've been listening to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back next week with episode 4. You don't want to miss it. Till then, bye!